हरि ओ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमा विद्विषावहै शांति 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 ओम जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
Okay, following on the demoniac mentality, again. Okay, again, still with lesson four. The spiritualists remain in complete harmony with the plan of God by cooperation. So that would then make the demons remain in lack of harmony by not cooperating. Right? There's no harmony. Section 9. Following such conclusions, the demoniac who are lost to themselves and who have no intelligence engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. Demons are the enemies of the world. The materialists who have no concept of God think that they are advancing, but according to Bhagavad Gita, they are unintelligent and devoid of all sense. They try to enjoy this material world to the utmost limit and therefore always engage in inventing something for sense gratification. Such materialistic inventions are considered to be advancement of human civilization. But the result is that people grow more and more violent and more cruel. Cruel to animals and cruel to other human beings. They have no idea how to behave towards one another. Animal killing is very prominent amongst demoniac people. Such people are considered the enemies of the world because ultimately they invent or create something which will bring destruction to all. So they're simply absorbed in themselves, and being lost to themselves. They're only absorbed in themselves. There's nothing else important for them. And so, therefore, no intelligence, because they're not discriminating between matter and spirit. We're not saying that they don't have intelligence to figure out how to make these inventions, right? How to take advantage of the situation for sense gratification. We're saying it's because they can't understand the difference between matter and spirit. Then ultimately their endeavors have no benefit, right? It's not according to Scripture. So therefore, not being according to Scripture means that you're going to do something that's not beneficial, right? Because the Lord, for the harmony of the universe, created Varnashram to maintain that harmony, right? And He created, therefore, Kshatriyas to see that it goes on properly, to manage it. Brahmins to be able to practice it and teach it. Right? Does that make sense? Vaishyas to take care of the land and cows, right? Shudras to assist the others. So that it's already been established like that. You know, your brahmachari life is meant to cultivate understanding of Brahman, so that you have the practice and knowledge necessary for a lifetime of pursuit of Brahman, you know, understanding the transcendence. Grihastha life then for engaging one's desires and for seeing to the flourishment of the culture. Vanaprastha to pull oneself back from that, sannyas to completely give up the attachment to the world, right? So these are very straightforward natural orders, right? For the proper maintenance of the universe, if we take it, the universe is God's and its purpose is God realization, right? But if we take it that it's not, it's simply based on sex desire, therefore the only point is to enjoy oneself, then that means all intelligence will be used to exploit whatever facilities are here to create the better environment for sense gratification. But because that's not how the universe is designed, it's always going to be not in harmony with how the universe runs. Right? And as I said before, because everyone has their own idea, right? There's no standard idea. Right? If you follow the Veda, there's a standard idea. If you don't follow the Veda, there's no standard idea. So then they're going to do, as mentioned, unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. So, because we're so used to it, you don't notice it so much. But the various elements that go on is, you know, dealing just with the natural facility, right? It means slaughterhouses, millions of animals are killed. So that's a lot. It's not like a few here and there. It's not like the local butcher. You know, like that. This is, we're talking about hundreds and thousands, you know, like this. And like this, there's so many slaughters. So already that's there. Well, let me say, okay, well, that's there. They have to eat. But then all the waste from these slaughterhouses, they have a problem. Because whatever land they put it onto, that land will grow nothing. Why? It's just the way it works. You know, Bhumi Devi must not be very pleased. But if they put all the waste from there onto any piece of land, you can't grow anything on it anymore. You know, so this, you have so much of the to do that, then you have so much of the forest you have to cut down. Right? So therefore then there's less air. Right? You know, like that. Plenty of carbon dioxide, enough for everybody, but, you know, oxygen a little bit less, right? So like this, the mining, all the different, you know, their oils, their weaponries, right? You know, here it makes atomic weapons and all that. They blow up everything. They can't use them, but they have them, right? Well, they always call it a deterrent to keep everybody else from. The problem is the ones that you don't have to worry about are the ones who won't use it. It's the ones who would use it that you have to worry about, because to them it's not a deterrent. Just because you have one doesn't mean that they won't have one and use it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So even less intelligent amongst the no intelligent. Right? So all these different things, all they do is destroy the place. Right? It means your Vedic system, you come in, there's a war. The war is between soldiers, not anyone else. So you have it out in the field. You have your fight. Whoever's left standing, they win. You know, like that. Pretty simple. You know? Like that. But in the modern, then you have the fights in the cities, you blow up the cities, everybody's life is disturbed, right? And then, even if you didn't completely destroy the city, once you defeat the other party, you go in and kill everybody and steal everything that you want and everything. But before it was, no, you're fighting over the city means you want the city in place. You don't want a destroyed city, right? So the fighting's outside, you win, then you go in and you manage the city nicely. It's already running, so now you make it run. You keep it running. Does that make sense? So even the concept of war doesn't create such disturbance. Does that make sense? So all these different things, if one follows Shastra, then one avoids all these kind of things. Right? But if not, then as it says, unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. So in this way, it doesn't mean that the individual is necessarily the enemy of the world, but just the work that they do, that's the problem. Yeah.
Every color is pretty much the same.
Every color you go, yeah, like that. I mean, I conjecture that, you know, maybe this time they were the beetles, next time they'll be the cockroaches or the, you know, the ladybugs, pill bugs, some kind of bugs. You know what I'm saying? But it's always the same thing because you have modes. As you adjust the modes, then these go. So does that make sense? So you just keep adjusting the modes, and so you get all these things. You know, but it keeps going, you know, like that. You could say it's going in one direction. But no, it's like before the Victorian age, the dress in that was much more open and liberal, what we call now liberal dress, like that. And then in the Victorian age, then everything became, you know, basically from your nose to your toes, just covered, right, you know, and then your head also, but. You know what I'm saying? So it just, everything changed, and then they start to go, you know, so-called liberal again. So they think, oh, they're getting rid of all this, it's all No, it's just these things keep going back and forth, back and forth. You know? Does that make sense? It's just there's no standard of it. So it's always going in a cycle. You know, now there was a herb growing during the Roman time. It's extinct now. That it was basically like your modern, I guess what we call it, Viagra, is that how you say it? Like that. So they had some herb that was its job, right? So they were so absorbed in it that even there was less, they would use it all so that there was none left. They wouldn't even keep some for replanting. Like that. So they completely wipe the whole thing out, right? You know, and then a few thousand years later, they find an artificial. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same thing. You know, we say, oh, modern living, you know, it's like people had a house and now it's modern living, you live in an apartment. No, Romans designed apartments. You know, like that. Any of these old cultures, I think it was the Navajo and all that, they live underground in apartments. Right? You know, so it's not an uncommon thing. The modern man, because he's doing it, therefore it's new. But all these things have always been there. There's nothing really new. And what they do make up that's new is just better for, you know, basically destruction of the world. You know, like that. Because before, it's like you had martial skills. You went out there, you had your sword or whatever it is, and you had to actually be good. You know? But nowadays, you can take a guy that you've trained him for 3 months, and then he can go and shoot you. You know what I'm saying? So you lose all the different culture and everything that's there. You know, it's before it took discipline and all that. Yeah, so many years of practice and that. So then, you know, so the difficulty is that it's just all meant to make a mess of things because it's not a cooperation. Because human life is cooperation. Like it means in fighting, then it's the chivalry. You know, that feeling of chivalry. But now, where's the chivalry? You know, where is that? You know, you'd see before is that they'd be, somebody was so good at fighting that he would defeat, you know, the enemy, and that the enemy would even be impressed. Yeah. You know, that this guy's a good fighter. And they would all, you know, laud and stuff like that. Or even sometimes even leave them, you know, because they did so good. And okay, they're escaping. We could chase them down, but they fought so well. We'll leave them for now. We'll catch them later, you know, like that. But, you know, today was a good fight. You know what I'm saying? But now, no, it's just, you know, you can't sleep. You can't. Before, you could go back, rest, spend time with your friends and everything, recover, and then you could be ready for the next day of fighting. But now, no, they just keep fighting so no one can sleep, no one can eat. And this way you wear them down, and somehow that's considered advancement. Does that make sense? So it's advancement. Maybe, okay, they officially get their war done, but as far as human life and values, it's none, because the method you would use is the methods according to your lifestyle.
But if their degradation is so rapid, we still have 400,000 years to become Yuna.
Yeah. So it'll get worse. So if you think it's bad now, everyone's going, oh, no, it's so bad, you can't. No, no, this is good. This is called good. You should see what it is at the end of coming. Like that. Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
It seems that Arjuna is born with divine quality, but it seems that most of us are born with non-divine quality.
Non-divine quality. well worded. Non-divine qualities. You seem to be endowed with the non-divine qualities. Yes, well, that's why devotional service is the point. So when we talk about functioning on just being good and moral and politically correct, it's not a snowball's chance in hell that any of us are qualified for that. You know what I'm saying? Because the political correctness is already demoniac, because it's not according to Shastra. It's not in harmony with the universe. It's only in harmony with, you know, a couple of, you know, Western countries that they use it only for political correctness. It's not a lifestyle. We're foolish enough to use it as a lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, just as it said, you know, if it says that association with women is a difficulty, but association with those attached to women is worse. Right? So associating with the politically correct is bad, but associating with those attached to political correctness, that's worse. You know what I'm saying? So except for devotional service, there is no chance of acting in a way that is progressive. Because these others aren't progressive. We say it is. You know, and it's been going on now, you know what, for a little over 200 years, this particular kind of concept of this enlightened secular method where, you know, by device, then they are separating everything from God consciousness. But it's not improving things, right? Does that make sense? They make some inventions, as you said, such materialistic inventions. You can say Yukta Vairagya, but why are they making the inventions in the first place? We're using them, that's one thing. But why are they making them? You know what I'm saying? Because of the demoniac mentality. You know? So it's not that it's beneficial. You know what I'm saying? It's supposed to improve the quality of life. How has it? Right? Improve cleanliness, improve medicine, improve some of these other things, but why these other elements? You know what I'm saying? People had fresh air out in the countryside, fresh fruits and vegetables, like that, in touch with the land and nature. You know, and so, okay, they could be a little more clean, right? They could know, you know, better about it, add some medicine, you know, add some education if they don't have that. But instead, they all move into the city, and then instead of it all being natural, it's all cement. Somehow or other, that's vast improvement. You know what I'm saying? So the point is the problem comes because that's not how Krishna wants the humans to live. Because it doesn't matter. You pack them up like that. Ants are packed up like that. So, you know, it's like, you know, you could probably put 10 times more in a city, in these world cities, than is there now. If it's got 10 million, you could have 100 million in the same spot. Right? Then you start getting close to ants. You know, so being packed up like that, that's not the actual problem. The problem is that's the lifestyle for ants, not for humans. Right? So who dictates that? God dictates that. You know, just the, oh, it's not natural, it's not, so, but what is so great about natural? Right? Because we look at it sense gratification. Because if you're natural, then you're healthy. You're healthy, then, according to the demons, more sex. Right? If you're not healthy, no sex. Healthy, sex. So it has nothing to do with that it's good on its own. It's good because that's the way God says it is. Then it's progressive. Otherwise, it's just for the body. It's healthy for the body. So what? Right? You know what I'm saying? But the fun part is devotees talk about natural. How many live on the farm? Right? Like that. They're happy right in this city and in their Tescos and stuff like that. You know? Like that. So it's just a show.
Maharaj?
Yes.
It seems to me that the new inventions, that technology, and if they're used for the service,
then you can use them, but you don't require them. Just like a letter works quite well. They've been using letters for as long as there is recorded history. Right? You know, so you can communicate. And why do you have to communicate with somebody on the other side of the planet anyway? You want to know why? Because we were discussing this morning, is those who have a very particular opinion, you know, and very narrow-minded, then they have their own group that's around them. They're not going to be happy with a friend on the other side of the planet. Right? It's got to be somebody right there you can sit down and drink with, you can laugh with, you can whack on the back, you know, you can do something with, right? But as I was saying, this modern kind of liberal element, then because you consider yourself as the higher level and intellectual and of the world, then how many people are like that? So unless you had internet, you wouldn't be able to find enough people to make a quorum for something. You can say, yeah, it's 20 people, or yeah, that's 20 people out of the whole planet. You know? And here we're being liberal. I guarantee it's 4 or 5. And actually it's only 2 or 3. And specifically it's yourself. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That's what you have to do. Before it was just, you know, within the village everyone got together and they found a partner and they got married. Now you have to, you know, go into some chat room and you're talking, God only knows who it is. Like that. They present themselves as this person, you know, this nice, you know, 21-year-old, you know, college graduate and stuff like that. And you find out it's a 45-year-old truck driver, you know, with a mustache. You're like, you know, it's just, you know, nothing to do with reality at all, right? You know? You understand? So there's something wrong here. So it's not necessary. Since it's here, we're using it, but it's not necessary. You can get from one village to the next with a horse cart. You know what I'm saying? Why do they have to go? Because before, anywhere where you were, you could live. Now it's, you know, your house is over here, your work's over here, your vacation, it's wild. So we'll say, no, it's necessary. No, it's not necessary. But since it's there, it can be used. But the point is, the reason it's there is for sense gratification. You know what I'm saying? They haven't made airlines because they think that the whole world is, you know, needs the benefit. They have airlines because it makes money. If it doesn't make money, they close the airline. You know what I'm saying? If the phone company doesn't make money, they close it. It's not a welfare work. Though people need to communicate and you have to increase the communication between. That's not why. It makes money, they go. If it doesn't make money, it folds. That's all. It's that simple. You know? Does that make sense?
Right.
Hmm.
So now the main everything runs on the basis of economics.
Well, according to this, everything runs on the basis of sex. You understand?
Huh?
No, that's the point. Kama means you have to have artha. There's no artha, there's no sex. You know, no money, no sex. Right? You know, so but what they're missing is no dharma, no artha. And the purpose of dharma is God consciousness. For elevation, so that's the.
And previously they were working on dharma?
Yeah, I mean, the demoniac, it's always this, but it doesn't mean that they won't follow the Vedic things to get it. But nowadays, then, you know, that's the point of Kali Yuga. The other three yugas, they all follow the Vedic, you know, but whether they're following it for sense gratification or not. So there, everyone's following the Vedic culture. But then in the present age, then. It's either those who follow scripture or those who don't follow scripture.
So if we further go with that, then the whole talk that we always use, karmis, yogis, and mayavadis,
no.
Yogis.
Yes, yes.
So basically in our age it's not so much importance. We don't have neither karmis nor yogis. You do mayavadis here.
What you say that means there's fruitive workers. So
they don't follow the Vedas.
Yes, but there's still fruit of workers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's fruit of workers who follow the Veda, and there's fruit of workers who don't follow the Veda.
Okay.
And then you have those who are intellectual, that's what they do basically as their lifestyle. But those who follow the Veda and those who don't. Right? And then yogis, I mean, yoga clubs are proliferating like anything all over the world. But it doesn't mean that they're, you know, following the Shastra. So these are the non-following the Shastra so much yogis. You know what I'm saying? So it's always the same thing. It's just how nice and clear it is. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense. You know, so before it was, you know, this big, huge monster guy with horns on his head and teeth like that and a club and all that. Then you, and could fly in the sky. You know, he's a demon, right? You know, like that. You know, now it's some little, you know, you know, grandmother sitting somewhere, that, you know, like that thing. So it's just that makes sense.
Maharaj, in earlier ages there were no atheists.
Earlier there were no atheists. It depends how you define atheist. It means you could say previously they were all Gnostics. Right? It means they believed in authority and scripture and like that. But it's not that they had a full understanding of God. So therefore, because because you don't accept the personal feature of the Lord, that's atheistic. Because it's against the theology, right? Because God is Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. But it's based on Shastra, so it's a step up. So from there you can simply add the personal understanding, because they've already accepted Shastra and everything like that. Does that make sense?
So what is the actual definition of atheist?
Not theistic.
Atheist, who you call atheist?
Someone who doesn't understand actually the position of God. You know what I'm saying? So, how many, you know, in a cauliflower? You know a cauliflower, right? And on the cauliflower, there's those little flowerets, right? So, how many flowerets does it take to make an actual, real cauliflower? No. That's the question. It's not a matter of meaning. How many of those little dinky ones, you know, does it take to make a real cauliflower? But exactly how many? There must be a right number, because if it has one more or one less, it won't actually be bona fide. Right? No? Or is it that if it has these qualities, whether it's smaller or bigger, it's still a cauliflower? If I go to the market and there's a cauliflower that size, is it a cauliflower? What happens if one's this big? Right? What about this day? Then you get worried. Right? You look around for very happy giants and their green color, and then you don't want to get stepped on, right? So it's called. So you want this exact, down to the letter definition of an atheist, but a cauliflower can have all this wide variety. So the point is to that degree that they don't understand the position of the personality of Godhead, to that degree it's atheistic. So they may believe in God, but not actually as God as a person. So it's partially theistic, partially atheistic. So the point is when you're dealing with such people, since theism is there, you only cultivate the theistic aspect. You don't tell them they're atheists. Right? And people who have no faith in God, they're atheists. But otherwise, anything between understanding the personality of Godhead, right, and that, you know, we're the soul and, you know, we're supposed to serve Him in devotion, anything between there and no faith in God, that there is a God exists, all that has elements of atheism in it. Does that make sense?
Between degrees.
That's the whole point. That's the point. We get the black, we get the white. You know, but what's the real gray? You know, is that actually gray over there, or is something else gray? Is that gray? Or is only that gray over there? Does that make sense? What about his shirt? Is that gray? What about the cheddar? Is that gray? But they're all different. Because there's different degrees of black and white. So more black, more atheistic. More white, more theistic.
Like earlier I heard that atheists mean those who do not believe in Vedas.
That, of course, that's definite. Yeah, but within, but at the same time as those who believe in it are the Mayavadis atheists. Yeah. But the point is when it comes between those who accept the Vedas and don't, we're on the side of those who accept the Vedas. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, when it comes to establishing that you follow the Veda, then us and the Mayavadis will say the same thing. You know what I'm saying? I've seen it in purports where Prabhupada's talking about the glory of India and how it's based on the Vedic literatures and that. And he's using people like Mahatma Gandhi. And you can see, India's produced Mahatma Gandhi, right? You know, other countries have not produced a Mahatma Gandhi. Right? Why? Because he studies Gita. He had that faith. You know, it's politically applied, but he's still, you know, right? Does that make sense? So therefore, he's saying, see, India's producing all these. They have international influence. Right? But then, there are those who follow, you know, properly, you know, who are parampara and those who are not. So then that cuts out all this Hindu-Bindu kind of stuff, and it leaves you with the you know, those who are properly in lines. Does that make sense? You know, of that, then you have who are the Vedantists. Right? Then, you know, so then if the Vedantists against everybody else, so then Shankara is still on our side. Right? But then as soon as we get to Vaishnav and the impersonal understanding, that's when he ends up outside. You understand? So, depending upon what you're establishing, then these will be applied. You understand? So, Buddhism is automatically atheist, because it doesn't accept, you know, the personal aspect of God. It doesn't even actually accept what Brahman really is. Right? It's a whimsical concept of Brahman. You know, how can something have no qualities, but you can describe it as having no qualities? If it has no qualities, there's nothing to describe. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem. Yes, such people are considered enemies of the world because ultimately they will invent or create something which will bring destruction to all. You know, right now they may seem like nice guys, but the direction they're moving, they're creating more and more things to destroy. Like it's just today's things. You know, you have a gun, right? Shoots one, and then they make machine guns that shoots quicker, right? But there's only so quick you can shoot. So now they made these special kinds of gun where they can fire like millions of rounds a second. It's just this huge. It's like a wall that's just filled that has all, you know, guns in it. So in each one of them, you know, because the gun can only fire so much per second. But if you have 1,000 of those, you know what I'm saying? So it's like those, you know, you have something, you shoot it and it falls over. This one, they shoot it and it's not there anymore. Does that make sense? So it's just, they're coming up with more and more stuff like this. And this is the stuff we find out about. That means it's kind of old hat, you know, it's no big deal. You know? Like I mentioned, there was that one guy who was in Jaipur doing a documentary on these monkeys, the Hanuman monkeys. And he had this camera that he got that had just been released by the army that could go into public circle. You have to connect it, your computer, and it will take, I think it's something like 10,000 frames a second. You know, right? You know, regular movies are 26 a second. Just 10,000 a second. Right? So he's studying when the monkeys jump, and you can get every little bit, you know, and all this, and how their muscles and all that work. So this was, they were using it to study how a cruise missile worked. You know, and just to make sure there was everything. So 10,000 frames a second for them isn't even useful anymore. They don't even consider it, you know, military level. So now the public can get it. Does that make sense? So that's how You know, so he says, ultimately they will invent or create something. Right? You know. 6:10. Because they're not working on Scripture. Because they're working on Scripture, it limits what you'll create. Doesn't mean you don't come up with nicer and better ways of doing things. Because they can say, oh, but then that will limit. It's like people today cannot do the craftsmanship. It's just like if you said today, doesn't matter how much money you spent, you probably could not recreate, you know, some of these cathedrals in the world. Like that, with all their modern advances, they can't do what some uneducated guy and his son and grandson did to make one of these cathedrals. You know, or the carving on these Indian temples and all that. You can't do that. They can't make it nowadays. There's no one who can do it. But everything's advanced, right? So that's the point. It means they were very advanced in cultural things that signified actual human development. And now it's just, yes, technology is advanced, but is that a symptom of human? That's the whole point. Does that make sense? Like you make a nice cathedral. It is so developed, such intricate detail. Do you ever have to worry that one day you'll walk in and the cathedral will have come alive and will throw you out? No, but they're always worried that all of their technical machines that they make, one day they're going to take over and throw the people out. You know? No? So you don't have to worry about that in actual human sophistication. You know? Okay. 16:10. Taking shelter. Oh, close. That was 1066. 1610. You know 1066?
Battle of Hastings. Battle of Hastings.
Yeah. When the only time I think a foreign king defeated England on their soil. That was the thing.
Oh, the Vikings did it before.
Oh, well, that thing. No, they just came in and settled. The other guys, you know. Like, in our history class once, it was like the teacher came in, wrote on full the whole blackboard, 1066 on the blackboard, and then said, if in this course, you know, it's a 3-month course, if nothing else you remember except this date, he says, I'll consider the class successful. So that's the only thing I remember. I don't know the guy talk. Nothing. But, you know, even today, I still remember, you know, 1066. Yeah, no, it worked, you know. Yeah, as you come in at the beginning of the class, put it on the board. You know, just, you know, if nothing else in this course, you remember that, you know, Krishna is God and you're his servant, and you know, this course will be successful. Yeah.
You can try it every day. If nothing else, you remember this. You know, I didn't know you.
Yeah.
The big poster on the wall.
Big poster. You are not this body.
New point.
Yes, new point. But God is his body. Okay. 16:10. Taking shelter of insatiable lust and absorbed in the conceit of pride and false prestige. The demoniac, thus illusioned, are always sworn to unclean work, attracted by the impermanent. Right? So Krishna's saying it exactly as it is. We have all kinds of nice cultural terms and other social nuances to cover all this to make it not look like what it is. You know what I'm saying? You know, like give I gave you an example before, is that if you have, according to, you know, European rules of sitting, you're having a formal dinner of all kinds of, you know, people and their families, right? The adults. How do you seat them? It'll be man, woman, man, woman, man, woman, right? Yeah. And opposite the table where the man is, that will be the woman, and opposite the woman, man. So, therefore, wherever you are, then you'll be, means if you're a man, then there'll be a woman on each side of you and one directly in front of you. Right? And for the next person, it's just like that. The woman, there's two men and one man in front. Why? So that creates conversation and something like this, and there's a variety. And but so we'll say this is sophisticated, formal, this is the way you have to do it. But all it is just taking shelter of insatiable lust. You know what I'm saying? All it is a way to create that. Because at the formal parties, people go, it's normal that you break up, the husband goes one way, wife goes another. The wife is talking to all the men there, and the man is talking to all the ladies there. Right? But there's a particular line. You cross that line, then that's bad. But up to that point, then it's just normal. Does that make sense? So we have this way of covering it. So Krishna is just saying it as it actually is. We'll say, no, 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 but they're making so many nice things. What's an atomic bomb? Right? You know, what's all the pollution? What's all the things? They're talking about all these things could destroy the planet. It won't, but they're talking that it will. So, is that not what here? Unbeneficial, horrible works? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Everything is about enjoying this. Is that not insatiable lust? The difficulty is because of conditioning. You know, the culture is made that, no, no, it's not that. It's actually, you know, has some nice side. You know, it's just like amongst thieves. They have a code. They don't steal from each other. So they're nice thieves. You know, there's some progression here. There's, you know, there's... Does that make sense? Like that. So that's...
And previous yugas, there was nothing such as all you can eat. All you can eat is... From Kali Yuga,
I would think so.
That's also insatiable.
Insatiable lust. Yeah, all you can eat, because there they would serve you how much you wouldn't have to go get it yourself. Mm-hmm. Accepting non-permanent things. Okay, yeah. By accepting non-permanent things, the demons become more and more attracted to sense gratification. Accepting non-permanent things, such demoniac people create their own god, create their own hymns, and chant accordingly. Right? The result is that they become more and more attracted to two things, sex enjoyment and accumulation of material wealth. Right? That's your point. Right? They go together. Such demoniac people are only attracted by wine, women, gambling, and meat eating. Those are their asuchi, unclean habits. Right? So here it means here is they always sworn to unclean work. So in other words, this wine, women, gambling, and meat eating, this is their unclean work. They're always sworn to that, right? Like there was one disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was preaching to some, you know, some English aristocrat. And when he asked, you know, about, you know, what's the... What are the rules in that? When he mentioned the four regular principles, he said, "Well, what's left? I mean, that's all we do. You know, there'll be nothing left. You know." Induced by pride and false prestige, they create some principles of religion which are not approved by the Vedic injunctions. Although such demoniac people are most abominable in the world, by artificial means, the world creates a false honor for them. Although they are gliding towards hell, they consider themselves very much advanced. You know, instead of going in an old, you know, rusty bucket with a hole in it, now they go to hell in a very nice, modern, you know, some kind of zirconium, you know, ceramic mix of a bucket like that. Does that make sense? So the principle is not that, okay, here, now we got something, yeah, well, we can get into this. But the point is that no, it's the point is that its absorption is in sense gratification, so it'll keep going further and further and further. Because the point of the sinful activities is that you don't care what are the results, you just want that enjoyment. Does that make sense? So that's the point. As soon as you follow the Vedic injunctions, the first thing that does is restrict all of these. Right? They're immediately restricted. Right? So then you have to deal in such a way that it will be progressive. It can't be just going in that direction. It has to be going the other way. Is that the senses are controlled for higher purpose, for sacrifice. And the ultimate control and sacrifice is for the Lord. Right? So that's what you're trying to get to. So all we're pointing out is that if you don't take care of lust, this is the direction it goes. That's why it's not useful in devotional service. Like I meant before, all those qualities, that was useful for someone engaged in the process of upliftment. Right? They were all useful for the platform of liberation. Because then if you're out of the material world, then one can function on the transcendental platform. Right? So as a situation, you want to be situated spiritually. Right? Like that. You may use material facility, but you, the soul, are situated spiritually. Does that make sense? So that means then those divine qualities, those are useful. These demoniac qualities are not useful. Right? So it's not useful to not be able to tell the difference between matter and spirit, therefore unintelligent. Right? Unbeneficial. It's not, no one ends up Krishna conscious. No one ends up liberated. No one ends up even actually having good facility. Right? You say, no, but there's so many wealthy people. How long are they wealthy? Go ahead. Buy the magazine this week. Look at who's the richest people in the world. Buy it next time it comes out. And see if the list is the same. You know? Go back into their archives. See if it's the same. No, it's constantly changing. So you have, but how long do you have? You know? So that's the point, is that it's not, it's an illusion to think that it's like that. Right? And false honor for them. They do something, and then they get some benefit. 16:11-12. They believe that to gratify the senses is the prime necessity of human civilization. Thus, till the end of their life, their anxiety is immeasurable. Right? Because when there's desire, there's anxiety. No desire, no anxiety. Bound by a network of hundreds of thousands of desires and absorbed in lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. Right, so here are hundreds of thousands of desires. Before we talk about, you know, a few, but it's actually a network of hundreds of thousands. They're all connected to each other. Otherwise, why is it the whole planet works together so nicely on this demoniac platform, unless all those desires have some connection to each other? Right? So therefore they can create this so-called, you know, modern civilization. Though one individual in it has technically nothing to do with the guy next door. You can live next to your neighbor and never know who they are. Right? But there's some connection because of this network. For sense gratification, the demons can perform all kinds of sinful activities. The demoniac person, who has no faith in God or the supersoul within himself, performs all kinds of sinful activities simply for sense gratification. Because you see, as generally speaking, those who have faith are a little less more restricted in how they'll apply the sense gratification. Right? So the extreme here in the demoniac is no faith in God or the super soul. They don't follow the Vedic injunctions. So that gets the worst. Right? But then if you add something, some faith in God or something super soul or in the scriptures or in the Vedic literatures, then there's some restriction. It slows the process down a bit. Right? The human element stays a little bit more. The person who has no faith in God or the super soul within himself performs all kinds of sinful activities simply for sense gratification. He does not know that there is a witness sitting within his heart. Right? He's doing all nonsense. There's somebody sitting there and watching. You know? Does that make sense? You know? Very careful. No one's around. You know, like that. There's someone sitting right in your heart watching. Right? You know, so. The super soul is observing the activities of the individual soul. As stated in the Upanishads, there are two birds sitting in one tree. One is acting and enjoying or suffering. Or one is acting and enjoying or suffering the fruits of the branches. And the other is witnessing. But one who is demoniac has no knowledge of Vedic scripture, nor has he any faith. Therefore, he feels free to do anything for sense enjoyment, regardless of the consequences. Right? Now here's, when he's saying sense enjoyment, that means it's not according to the Vedic literature. Right? And for us, means not for Krishna. So, just because one is doing something that is actually sense enjoyment, but according to one's conditioned culture, you don't call that sense enjoyment. It doesn't mean it isn't. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense. Means maybe we don't have faith in certain Vedic injunctions. We say we chant, we don't care about that. So what are you doing instead? You know, what is it for? What authority are you basing your activity on? If it's not on the Shastra, then what is it? Because generally the point where they say we chant, we don't care about the rules, is they're not talking about chanting. They're talking about something else. But yes, you chant, but then what about when you're not chanting? What's the authority there? So it's not Shastra, so it's our own mind. So that means if it's connected to Krishna, fine. It's just a rougher situation or rougher offering, but it's connected to Krishna. Great. You know, that's what we were saying this morning. You know, there's some, I don't know, it was yesterday, saying about that someone may be very fixed in you know, doing what Prabhupada says, but that's all they do. But there may be some whimsicalness in that, but it all is done in that way. So some of it's, you know, good quality, some of it's not good quality, but it's ultimately connected. But then you have someone who it's not connected. Then what is it? So why wouldn't it be sense gratification? Because to do anything, you're engaging the senses. If it's not, the purpose is for Krishna, then it's sense gratification. Purpose is for Krishna, it's not sense gratification. You understand? So why are we going to such length to point this out? Because otherwise, these are verses we've read so many times, and it's always these disgusting, dirty, filthy, whatever we would consider, you know, nasty demons, you know, like Hitler on acid, you know, or something like that. You know, so that way, you know, that's the ultimate demon, right? You know, so you know, someone else it'll be, you know, the corporate guy. Someone else it'll be, you know, the grandmother. Someone else, it's just someone else. You know, it just keeps going around. Does that make sense? But the idea is that no, we're talking about the demoniac nature. Otherwise, why does he need to define demons? Because these elements are stuff that we may be distracted by. Right? We act in a... Because sinful here means not for Krishna. You know, and specifically here means not according to Shastra. So how much of a devotee's life is not according to Shastra? Right? Because if it was according to Shastra, everyone would be on Harinam, right? Yeah. No?
So what? More fun or more?
Well, that's there. I was talking about the devotee Shastra, who's in charge of the Harinam program. So we're acting not according to Shastra. So you have these things, but then you have the subtle elements. So these are the elements the devotee has to look at. Here's the extreme examples. But still, the subtle aspect is still there. You know, we're doing something, do we realize Krishna's in the heart seeing? You know, like that. So that's there. Or, what do you call it? You know, unclean habits, false pride and prestige, doing things that aren't approved by Vedic injunctions. They say we make up our own religious elements very easy. You know, when it comes to deity worship, things that devotees have made up, those are what stick and are really hard to get rid of. The ones that the Shastra says to do, those are the harder ones to establish. Non-permanent things. Right? We're all, you know, worried about non-permanent things. So all these different aspects, there's devotees get distracted by them. Right? You know, modern, the gizmos and gadgets and everything like that will consider things are better.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
So I just mean that with all the verses, it's very important to develop some introspection.
Yes.
Personally.
Yeah. So to just see that these things are, we're not being distracted by.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that. Even if it's a subtle point,
yes.
The point is that there. We're not saying that the devotees are, you know, demoniac. No, but anartha means something that is left of the demoniac quality. But it ultimately is, anartha can also be a divine quality if it's not connected to the Lord. Right? Is that a sense? It's 11:30? It's almost. Okay. It's starting up. Okay. 16:13-16. The demoniac person thinks, this is such a classic, this one, right? So much wealth do I have today, and I will gain more according to my schemes. So much is mine now, and it will increase in the future, more and more. He is my enemy, and I have killed him, and my other enemies will also be killed. I am the Lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I am the richest man, surrounded by aristocratic relatives. There is none so powerful and happy as I am. I shall perform sacrifices. I shall give some charity, and thus I shall rejoice. In this way, such persons are deluded by ignorance, thus perplexed by various anxieties, and bound by a network of illusions. They become too strongly attached to sense enjoyment and fall down into hell.
But this is arcade business. Cares with others, family members, and charity and sacrifice nothing.
No, it said some charity. It didn't say charity. I shall give charity. It said I shall give some charity.
Even they consider it divine.
No, but as you get up there, that means you're common, maybe not, but when you get up there. Means your poor sections and your very rich sections, they'll consider charity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of the average ones in the middle. Then if it comes up and you mention it to them, they're quite open to it, but it's not something that they always think about.
Mm-hmm.
But generally the poor and the richer, they always think about it. And somehow or another. But some charity. You know, the one doesn't have much, so he can only give some charity. The one has a lot, he wouldn't want to give too much, or he won't have a lot. Right? Okay, demons don't believe in the law of karma. So now from the purport and all these different points. He believes in his own strength, and he does not know that whatever he is gaining is due to his past good deeds. Right? He thinks it's due to my work now. No, it's from your past work. Right? For the bad work they're doing now, then he's going to, you know, end up in hell. Of course, he could say, you know, I'm thrown off a taller mountain than you're thrown off. But, you know, my tree has more thorns on it than your tree that they're dragging you up and down. You know, so you can feel it. Here. Like that. He is given an opportunity to accumulate such things. But he has no conception of past causes. He simply thinks that all his massive wealth is due to his own endeavor. Right? No, the endeavor is for the future, and what he's getting is from the past. Like that. A demoniac person believes in the strength of his personal work, not in the law of karma. Right? So man can go beyond fate. Right? You know? And so somehow at the end of the story, then they always find out, no, it works according to how fate says it's going to work. You know? According to the law of karma, man takes his birth in a high family, or becomes rich, or very well educated, or very beautiful because of good work in the past. The demoniac think all these things are accidental and due to the strength of one's personal ability. Right? Because there are people who go through, even they take the medicines, they go to the spa, they have the operations, but they don't become more beautiful. You know what I'm saying? Because if that was the way it was, everybody would already be beautiful, right? You know, people have been at this for a long time. Right? You know what I'm saying? So yeah. But it doesn't. It's not. It's just It means they're able to take advantage of it, but it still is their karma. They do not sense any arrangement behind all the varieties of people, beauty, and education. Because as it is, what philosophy can explain it? If you don't accept karma, how can you explain that someone's born in a rich family or poor, someone's educated not, someone's beautiful not, wealthy not? There's no explanation. Right? So if it's just chance, then if it's just chance, then since it's chance, what's the big deal? You know, why should you say it's better? Why should you think I can endeavor for wealth and get it when it's just chance? Right? Because if it's by endeavor, that means the person is born in a wealthy family because of endeavor. But if it's just chance, that means you could go out and try to do business, and it may work and it may not. You know, so you take a cross-section of the population. How many are wealthy? Right? If it's 1 or 2%, then that means you have a 2% chance of getting wealthy from making an economic endeavor. Like that. Right? Because it's just chance anyway. So even if you didn't do it, it would still happen. Because it's not that the baby did some work, he did some investment beforehand. Or while he's in the womb, he's there wheeling and dealing on the phone, making an invest here and all that. You know? Just thinking about it, saying, "Oh, you can hear some noise." You know, the doctor's sitting there and going, "He's making a phone call. He's talking to his lawyer. He's got a lawyer. I don't got a lawyer." You know, so like that. No, it's that he hasn't done anything. He's just born in this family. So the point is that it's from previous work. So one can see it's by work that it happens. Because it's not by chance. You know? Demons are inimical to one another. Anyone who comes into competition with such a demoniac man is his enemy. Right? Because you're either for him, means you're supporting his endeavor, or you're not, so you're his enemy. There are many demoniac people, and each is enemy to the others. This enmity becomes more and more deep between persons, then between families, then between societies, and at last between nations. Therefore, there is constant strife, war, and enmity all over the world. Right. It just goes, because each one is anyone who gets in your way, so the same principle just gets bigger and bigger. Because it doesn't have to happen much. It's just little things are going on constantly with you, and then it's a little bit more. Then it's something in your family against the next family, and then the community, and like this. Because otherwise, it's not much. You know what I'm saying? So you have all these nations there, and then you know, one guy gets shot in Serbia, and then the whole, it starts a war, a world war, like that. You know, so it's just, it was one thing. It wasn't like it was constantly going on or like that, and they just said, "This is not, we can't handle this anymore," you know. Demons are gliding towards hell. Demons think that they will manufacture their own process of yajna and prepare some machine by which they'll be able to reach any higher planet. Right? So what they consider as sacrifice, they make up their own idea of what it should be. Right? Not that it's according to what should be. You know, it's just like you give it in charity. Is it? Do the Vedas mention that when you give in charity, make sure that the medium that you give in charity is big enough that everybody could see it? Right? Like that. You know, especially if the thing itself is worthless. You know what I'm saying? A cow is big enough everybody can see, but the cow has value. You know, but a you know, 6-foot check doesn't have any value in itself. You know, it's simply a medium that you can get some value from. Right? More pieces of paper. And all those pieces of paper may not even add up to how big the piece of paper was that got you those pieces of paper. The best example of such a demoniac man was Ravana. He offered a program to the people by which he would prepare a staircase so that anyone could reach the heavenly planets without performing sacrifices, such as are prescribed in the Vedas. Right? So what do you call it?
Babylon Tower?
Yeah. What's it called?
Babylonian Tower?
Babylonian. No, I'm not sure it's Babylonian. Babel, Tower of Babel.
Babel.
Yeah, because then while they were building it, then God made them speak all different languages, so they couldn't understand each other, so they couldn't communicate, you know, like that. I mean, we got a guy here who's deaf and dumb, but he does all our work. So you can't communicate. You know, if you want the hammer, you can. So Ravana was the one who was building the staircase. Like that. Similarly, in the present age, such demoniac men are striving to reach the higher planetary systems by mechanical arrangements. These are examples of bewilderment. The result is that, without their knowledge, they are gliding towards hell. So gliding, you know, it's very pleasant, it's like smooth. It's not a rough ride to hell, right? You know, it's not. Yeah, there's no song like that or anything. It's, you know, the rough ride to hell. No, it's just gliding, you know. Like that. Here the Sanskrit word mohajal is very significant. Jala means net. Like fish caught in a net, they have no way to come out. Right? Because the desires that we said before, the network of desires, hundreds of thousands of interconnected desires, that creates a net that just keeps them controlled in the material sphere. Right? So that's why devotees reduce that. It doesn't mean that what they reduce it down to aren't the root demoniac qualities. But that's the point, is that there's not hundreds of thousands of them. Right? There's just a few. So that means the net is, so that's, without the net, you can't cross it. So through devotional service, they can get out of this. But because those root ones are there, one thinks that nothing is developed, nothing's advanced. But no, it's advanced, it's developed.
We can see that sometimes within devotees that their desires have been reduced by the practice.
Yes, yeah.
But those, let's say, few hundreds, or even a few, they became stronger. Maybe because there is absence of other desires, so they seem stronger.
No, it's not necessarily that it's become stronger. It was always that strong, but because there's so many other desires, you can't actually see how strong it is. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Let's say there's 50 kids in your house, or 100 kids in your house. Does any one kid stand out? No, but if we get rid of all the kids, there's only two or three, then they stand out more. You know, and if there's only one kid, then they get all the attention. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. If there's 100 desires, kids there, how much attention can you give to each one? So that's why they're so entangled, because you know, this one's there, so that one's, and then the next one, this one. So they're not even focused completely on that. So even we're saying is on the demoniac, that they're focused on something. How much do they actually get involved in that? You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem. It's that they don't. So the devotees, they reduce this whole network, but what few are left, those are the roots of all those broad range. So they'll appear to be stronger, but actually they're not necessarily. It's just a matter of one gets that taste between spiritual and material, then one is able to take. So that's why it said to intelligence, because the mind has that taste for material endeavor. So the idea is that it's being. It's being, how do you say? One has to use that process of intelligence. Because without it, then one won't be able to tell. Because for the mind, it only accepts and rejects. So something is accepted, then it's considered mind good. So the intelligence has to point out how it's not good, what will happen if you follow it, and all of the reactions. So then that means time. One is making that endeavor, and then with time, knowledge and detachment come. So then one can start to deal with it less and less and less. Right? So you can say that there's a stage where you've removed so much of the desire, only a few are left. Then there's a stage where those few desires, then they start to reduce. You know what I'm saying? Because they're devotees. That means they're not implicated in so much. Right? There's a little stuff. They will need to get a little money, and they may have old friends or family or some hobbies or, you know, some attachment to a particular kind of work. That's about it. You know? Like that. No, it's not like there's a wide range of things that the devotee's attached to. You know what I'm saying? You know, generally, you know, meat eating's not a big thing for devotees, right? You know, gambling generally also is not. So it's just illicit sexual intoxication, right? They're the only ones left, you know. It's like, what do you call it? We used to have the joke in L.A., you know, following the three regulator principles: no meat, no fish, no eggs. Like that, you know. Yeah. So does that make sense? Yeah. So like that. Then it's reduced down, and so then, therefore, then it's just a few things. But they're the key essential points. You know. So prestige, wealth, social position, you know, how you say, those things, yeah, I mentioned wealth, right? No, this time it didn't. Wealth, women, you know, these are the ones that basically are standing out, you know, some entertainment, right? You know, and then that's it. Is there anything else that the devotees are distracted by? Oh, knowledge. Hey, who's doing that? Who's on the bridge?
Maybe
that. Maybe that one. Is it labor or one of the boys?
Labor.
He's hitting the tree.
Tree. Careful. I have to ask for the tree.
Those bushes. I don't know what he's trying to do. Is it Gunga? Oh, okay. No, he's just stupid. That's different from less intelligent. Less intelligent means your intelligence is not properly used. Stupid means there's no intelligence. Okay. 16, 17. So is that clear? It means devotees have these. They're not good. They're anartas, but they're not in the same category that is talked about here, because their entanglement is different. But it's not that these aren't going to get in the way of devotional service. But the point is, devotional service, if they stick to it, is more powerful. So then with time, as Krishna says, they will become rightly situated. Right? But because they're making that endeavor, sincere endeavor, even though those qualities are there, they're still considered saintly. Right? Yes?
Maharaja, whenever one observes these demonic qualities coming up, like manifesting, then one can kind of observe that it happened and then apologize or whatever like that.
Well, apologize is one thing, but using your intelligence to figure out how to not let it happen again, that would be better.
But after, once it's come up, then like analyze what made it happen.
And then you have to make the endeavor to try to not be overwhelmed by it. You know, so that means changing the situation or using intelligence or whatever it takes. But the main point is how can that be connected to the Lord? Right? You know, either in its positive, that it's used itself, or in its negative, that, you know, it's not my duty, so I don't get involved in that. So in either way, it's connected. Yeah. Kind of.
I was just looking at the list. I don't have the paper, but I was looking at the list of like harshness, pride, conceit, anger, arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
So then they must have a converse.
Well, harshness is gentleness.
Okay.
Yeah. Conceit is humility. You know what I'm saying? The divine qualities, those are useful for liberation. They're inverse, then they're not. Right, because lust and envy are the basis. Right, so envy is never useful. Right, but the point is that's an adjustment of identity, thinking I'm the controller rather than Krishna is. That's where the envy is. And lust is that the result is for me, and love means the result's for Krishna. Right, so you simply have to adjust that I'm servant, therefore I'm supposed to be doing this to please Krishna. Does that make sense?
So yeah. Like first the decision is made on the platform of intelligence.
Yes, intelligence.
And then the mind is still configured wrongly.
Yes.
So then later, and then gradually.
Yes, gradually. It means if you're always thinking of how to correct it in connection with the Lord, then it will slowly adjust. You know? In other words, by thinking about it, you can adjust it immediately, then it's not very deep. If it takes more time, it's deeper. But it doesn't mean, oh, it's not me or I can't do it. No, you can always do it because it's not us to be conditioned. Right? That's not our nature. Our nature is pure.
But still the qualities, the consciousness can be, like you said earlier in by chanting, one makes advancement. So the consciousness can be advanced, even in the qualities.
Yeah, consciousness advances because that's our point. Is by changing the consciousness, we'll change the qualities.
Mm.
But it's not that we're going to change the qualities without changing the consciousness.
Mm.
Right? That takes a serious amount of piety to be able to do. You know, so someone may have piety in one area, can adjust those few things. And someone else in another area, but it's not all encompassing. So only devotional service will make it that all these things can be adjusted. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Maharaj, with these lustful desires or these an artist that sometimes comes up, a few Sundays ago you mentioned that we would treat it like a machine. We would actually have a look at all the different parts, take parts away so it doesn't function. Would it be more effective to just put Krishna in the center first?
That's where you start.
That's where it's done.
Yeah.
Krishna in the center.
Yeah.
And then we work out the details.
Because the point is if you can work out how Krishna is the center of the activity, then it's very easy to work out what elements are not useful for doing it for Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is body, mind, and words are engaged in Krishna's service. So what's not engaged in Krishna's service, that's the problem. But first you have to understand what is engagement. Right? And so if that's hard to see, if you can see, okay, these things are not engagement, then you start with that. You know, but the point is it's what's useful for Krishna. Either it makes it work nicely for Krishna, or it's obvious it doesn't make work nicely for Krishna. So Krishna is still the center of the consideration. Does that make sense? Okay. Looks like we finished this one. Oh, it's just at the top of the page. Oh, Oh, okay, saying a similar thing. Okay. So this gives more detail of that. So then we'll continue that tomorrow. About their own made-up religions.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.